Welcome to the Do Weekly Podcast, a weekly challenge podcast for small business owners.
By small business owners.
I'm Natalie MacLeese.
And my name's Alex Vasquez. What do you know about that? Hey, Nat. How you doing today?
I don't know who I'm talking to.
Well, you have to acknowledge me in all of my voices that I do. That's part of the disorder that I have, where I, you know, assume different personalities.
What's the disorder that you have? Constant need for attention?
That's one of them. Can you guess the other one?
Forgetfulness?
Yeah, that too. That's pretty good, actually. So, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I, too, am doing well. So thank you for asking. I feel like we got off on the wrong foot.
Today?
Yes.
Or just from the beginning of our relationship?
All of it. And I want to let you know that I accept your apology.
I don't remember offering one.
Well, I do. In my revisionist history of a memory, you apologized to me for being very rude to me when we first met.
Those helicopters are coming for you.
Also, I'm a crook. I keep on, like, stealing from banks and everything. Look.
Did you rob a bank on your way over here?
I went to In-N-Out and I robbed a bank because I needed to pay for my In-N-Out. Just stay quiet and the cops won't find me. But
In-N-Out is less than $10.
Yeah, I didn't have any money, okay? So I knocked over a bank.
Well, they're going to get you now.
Yeah, and you know what? I wouldn't have had to have done it if you just lent me that money like I asked you. You always never give me money when I ask for it. It's like you're trying to teach me a lesson all the time. Look, dear listeners, these episodes don't normally start like this, and I blame myself for not wrangling Natalie in making her be serious, but we're going to change that right now. Okay, Natalie, it's time to get serious.
Okay, I'm serious.
Yes, I can tell. I feel like we have to talk about some stuff. We have to talk about last week's challenge.
We also need to do a quick check-in on some other challenges that were just recently completed.
We should probably do that.
Do you want to do that real quick first?
We should do that real quick first.
Well, what'd you do this weekend, Alex?
Oh, I'm glad that you asked. Not only did I do it this weekend, but I did it the entire week.
That's amazing.
What Natalie is alluding to is what episode was that?
Oh gosh, 5 or 6?
In the time machine, you'll find an episode of the Do Weekly podcast where Natalie and I decided that we were going to take a vacation.
A real vacation.
A real vacation, distraction-free.
No vacations.
No vacations. No vacations here. Last week, I took that vacation. I was in Joshua Tree, and then I was in Ojai. And then I wasn't. And then I was here. I'm kidding. But I went to Joshua Tree and Ojai.
Without a laptop?
Without a laptop.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I was really nervous and jittery, and I was having cold sweats, and I did not die.
And the world is still here.
And the world is still here.
Spinning.
It's still spinning. Hold on. The earth is flat, it doesn't spin, just so you know. But moving on. I took a vacation, and it was everything I thought it could be, and I loved it. And Ojai was lovely. I bought some wine. And I have to tell you, I was so happy to not do anything work-related. I did have a couple of things where I had to contact people on Slack and everything, but no laptop otherwise.
Nice.
And I felt very refreshed when I came back to get back into the groove of things. But yeah, I totally, totally, totally loved it. And there's a certain satisfaction, too, that, you know, this is something that we planned to do as part of the podcast. And then I went and did it. I went and done it, which I thought was really neat. It wasn't like an immediate instant gratification sort of thing. So, you know, I had to sit on it for a while. Mm-hmm. But as like, boom, it just felt really neat.
So that was your first vacation without a laptop in how long?
I can't even tell you, but I think I said this before, you know, the last time I took a vacation without a laptop was before I owned a laptop. I mean, 2011, 2010? maybe, or even probably even before that, if I'm being honest. Yeah, it's nuts. It's way too long. I want to keep carrying this forward, but if I can do this, like, it doesn't have to be a week at a time, but if I can do this for maybe once a quarter where I take a trip, or, you know, just unplug for a few days or something like that, that's what I want to try to do. Because this was huge. And, you know, things still happened. You know, I put processes and people in place, and for the most part, things got done.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. I was pretty happy.
Yay.
That was a nice trip down memory lane.
Memory lane from, like, a few days ago.
Look, just let me say nice things, okay? So what about you? What do you have for an update?
I had my trip just a couple of weeks ago to go back to Pennsylvania for 5 days, see my nephew graduate from high school.
Oh, yeah.
And that was lovely. It was just mostly family time. We went to the Andy Warhol Museum. We walked around. The arts festival was happening in town. Had some dinners out. Played some Uno.
Do they say Uno or Uno?
Uno. Who says Uno?
You'd be surprised.
Okay.
I thought it was Uno this whole time.
I never heard anyone call it Uno.
Well, you just don't get out much.
I guess not. My sister had a new kitten who was adorable.
Say, what did she have?
A kitten.
What does it have, like, for little paws? What's, like, another word for cat paws that rhymes with kitten?
Mitten.
Say again?
Mitten.
Yeah, those. Nothing. Keep going.
Do you need me to say orange in Florida for you?
No. I'll call up Larry King and have him say those things for me.
At least I'm not someone who says Washington.
I don't say that.
I didn't say you did.
I don't know. It kind of felt like kind of a roundabout way. You're trying to troll me. I'm aware. I know stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I have self-awareness, kind of. You were in Pennsylvania. You got to spend some family time. And is this your first unplugged trip?
No. No, I try to do them on a regular basis because I need the downtime.
Yeah, I didn't realize. It's easy to forget that, you know, how much of our attention goes into our work and everything mm-hmm. when we have the mechanisms there to connect to it. And it's hard to resist.
It is.
So it's best to not have the temptation at all.
And when I first started working for myself full time, I probably went at least 2 years, maybe closer to 3, without really a day off.
Wow.
Like not even a weekend, not even Christmas Day, no days off, just working, working, working. And most of those days were working from the time I woke up until the time I went to bed.
Yeah.
You know, you can do that temporarily to get something up and running, but you're not a robot. And I was very unhappy.
Yeah,
and that's natural. When I started really looking at what could I do, and I started cutting off my work day. So originally I quit working at 7 p.m. Now I quit working at 6 p.m.
Yeah.
I took weekends off. I think originally I just took Sundays. Now I take Saturday and Sunday off.
Yeah. And you're really hardcore about that. I remember saying to you, hey, let's talk about this project. And you're like, yeah, we can talk about it Monday.
Yes.
And I was like, okay, cool.
Exactly.
No, straight up. And, you know, that's something that I try to adhere to as well. I'm not as good about not doing work on the weekends. Like, I'll find myself with, like a spare 30 minutes or an hour or something like that, and I'll try to get in some work and all that stuff. So, but I think it's good to commit to yourself and set boundaries, you know, and it's okay to set a routine. You know, there was a gal I dated for a little while, and, you know, she's a freelance seamstress and clothing designer and whatnot. But one of the things that she said to me, you know, we were trying to make plans, and I said, oh, I can't go out on this day because I have this, and da da da. And she said, you know, for someone, you know, who works for themselves, like you, you know, like she was surprised at how regimented I was. And, you know, first I thought about it, I was like, oh, you know, I must be a fuddy-duddy. But no, it's good to have systems in place. And
yeah.
It's good to have those times that those commitments that you keep to yourself.
Some people do okay working just like a really ad hoc schedule where they just sit down to work each day whenever they feel like it. But I feel like I'm more productive and I feel like my clients are more appreciative when I have set business hours that I'm working. And you're working for yourself. There's nothing saying if your Wednesday is going rotten, take the afternoon off and go to a movie.
Or take a 30-minute nap.
Yeah, go out for a walk.
Or take another nap.
Have lunch with a friend.
Take a nap.
You can do all kinds of different things.
Yeah, like napping.
You're really obsessed with napping.
Look, I didn't realize how much I needed naps in my life until I started taking them. And now I take them every day. Sometimes 20 minutes, sometimes 24 hours.
Did you ever nap as a child?
No. I don't recall. Well, I mean, I'm sure as a little kid, you know, like my mom probably set me down for naps. I don't remember them, but I remember the younger Alex, baby Alex, was like, you know what? I'm not buying into this bullshit. Naps are for suckers. Now, adult Alex, this guy, would look at little Alex and say, stop being a turd and take your nap. They're delicious.
I remember having nap time in kindergarten, which I feel like was maybe 15 minutes. Maybe it was a whole half hour.
Oh, I remember we would take naps and then we would be given like juice and crackers.
Uh-huh.
And then the teacher would be like, go the fuck to sleep. But not in so many words.
Yeah, I don't think that's what the teacher said.
Anyway, I'm glad that we've both decided to commit to giving ourselves those breaks.
I guess we should now talk about this week's challenge.
This week's challenge.
Wait. To get all of your stuff organized.
Wait, that was last week's challenge.
That's what I mean. The challenge we did for this week.
But last week's challenge.
Last week's challenge, fine.
Okay, so we did a callback to a previous challenge, and now we're talking about last week's challenge.
So many challenges.
So many challenges. So little time. So last week's challenge was to get your assets together.
All of your design stuff. Yeah. Get it together. Organize it.
Yeah. Organize it. Get it together. And the idea was to only really get it together just because, you know, again, the reason for this is, you know, so many business owners who I talk to, they don't have these things in order. They don't have logos in the right format. If they have a logo at all, you know, they might have something on their site or their business cards, but they don't have the original artwork. So,
or they have multiple versions of it. Right. And they're not really sure which one's the right one.
Right. We wanted to get these assets together for the preparation or for use in a future episode where maybe you can take these assets and either have them retouched, like redone, or have new business cards made, new letterhead, or things like that.
Whenever you want. But now you'll know where everything is.
Yes. Basically, you're kind of getting, you're cobbling together your own identity kit. I know our viewers won't be able to see this on the podcast, but I will post this in our show note. So, Natalie, as you know, and something that you helped me with, you helped me with a logo redesign last year. So I had a friend of mine named Yanni redo my logo.
Okay.
And I had you...
The Yanni?
Not the guy with the mustache and the piano who played live at the Acropolis, for whom my mother just... She loves this guy. If I could deliver him on a platter with like a marriage proposal or something like that, just for my mom, I would be the best son ever.
Wow. Now,
granted, I am her only son, but still.
Yeah.
It was a big deal. But you helped me out with like a new logo. I haven't started using it yet. And, you know, I want to get prepared for business cards, letterhead and things like that. So I started gathering those things up. And so I kind of have them all in one place now. And I've made additional versions of the logo. You know, I've got kind of like the long form mark with the name DigiSavvy in it. And then I have submarks too. And then I've also called out my brand colors and typography. So I'm going to show it to you on my phone.
Okay.
Okay. That's...
Ooh, look how nice and organized it is.
Yeah, it's super nice and super organized. And you don't have to do it like that or anything, but it's just nice to have these assets in one place. Because if you're working with a designer or someone else or an assistant or whomever, you can send them the identity kit and say...
Have at it.
Have at it. You know, here's the original artwork. Go to town. Now I have it, I feel like I can now tackle the task of ordering business cards, paying someone to design a new letterhead, like get all that identity stuff out of the way. So I feel like I'm ready to go. So
good job.
Well, thank you. I gave myself a high five.
And I'm applauding.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. So
Alex won't high five me anymore because I hurt him every time.
You don't know your own strength, Natalie. And also, I bruise like a peach.
Yeah, you're a delicate flower.
I am a delicate flower, and that's what I keep on trying to tell people. I'm very sensitive. Mm-hmm. What about yourself, Natalie? Did you do the challenge?
I did. I finished it like 5 minutes before we started recording.
I'd say 5 minutes is generous.
Listen, doesn't matter when you do it, as long as you do it.
I'm going to give that to you. I'm not even going to give you a hard time about it, even though I just did. I accept that you finished, that you completed the challenge. High five.
Thank you.
Here, I'll even... Ow.
Alex, I barely touched you.
Oh, no, people look,
probably didn't... It probably didn't even make a sound on the recording.
It's already bruising.
Oh, my gosh.
What was the most challenging part of gathering these assets?
They were a mess, and they were everywhere. And I had multiple versions of my current logo, as well as versions of 3 or 4 past logos.
Yeah, about that.
Just all jumbled up together.
So, Natalie, in the show notes, I think people would love to see previous versions of the purple pen logo, especially the one that looks like Pikachu got stuck in your chimney. And you need to bring that
back. I didn't design that one, to be clear.
Bring it back.
I'm not bringing it back. It's horrible.
Well, you need to send that to me so that we can put it in the show notes. Oh, my God.
I will.
And that's another
thing. I'll make a little collage for you of all the past logos.
Oh, that would be so glorious. Like, that would be... And actually, here's just kind of a tip, too. Like, that could be a fun piece of content. If you end up finding a lot of old logos or old concepts that you didn't use, you know, there's fun ways to reuse that content or to reuse those assets in content like a blog post or a tweet or even something that you share on Facebook. You can make something funny out of it, right? Because I don't know how you couldn't make anything funny, anything that wasn't funny out of those old logo designs, Natalie.
Like,
I know you keep on saying that someone else did the work. I don't...
They did.
You're so full of it, you did the work.
I bet the file meta still has someone else's name on it.
I doubt it.
We'll look.
No, we won't. I won't believe you. Fake news.
Listen, I did the tattoo one. I'll claim that one. But I'm not claiming the Pikachu one. That was not me.
Yeah, one of the site designs looks like you guys ran a tattoo shop.
I did that. I'll claim it.
Like, was that done during, like, the 90s or...
It was done 10 years ago.
Yeah, probably a little more than 10 years ago.
No. Purple Pen didn't exist that long ago.
You've got everything in one place now.
It's all in one place, and I also took my original vector file of my logo and saved out ready-to-go versions in square, circle, vertical, and horizontal in both black and white.
Woo!
I am set for any logo situation.
That is how a player does it 5 minutes before the podcast. Heck yes. Well, good job. Good job. So you got everything in place. You're ready to go forward. What's the first thing you think you'll do with these updated logos? What are you gonna do with it?
I think I'll do a quick review of those social media profiles that we did and make sure I've got the right version of the logo on all of them. And just double check.
Yeah.
Don't really need business cards just now, but next time I order them, I'll have things ready to go. And maybe I'll think about a little branding touch up.
Well, I think we kicked that challenge right in the stomach.
Right in the stomach.
Well, where did you want me to say?
In the baby maker.
Natalie. This is a family show. We don't say things like that on here.
Baby maker?
Yeah, definitely not.
I just mean the stork.
So, Natalie, I have a feeling that you're going to give us our challenge this week.
Yeah, are you excited?
You know, the last time you did a challenge, and you put it out there to torture me, I have a feeling like all the challenges that you do are specifically meant to torture me.
That is my first criteria for choosing a challenge.
All right, Natalie.
But I don't think this one will torture you too much, actually.
Okay, well, let's hear what it is.
The challenge is to apply to speak at a business event or conference.
Interesting. So, apply to speak at a conference or a business event.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. Now, I like this challenge a lot. Now, why do you think that this is an important challenge for us and our many thousands of listeners to do?
Hey, we have listeners in crazy countries around the world.
What makes them crazy, though? Be just careful how you answer
places
that.
Places that you wouldn't expect people to be listening to our crazy little small business podcast.
Like Iberia?
I don't think that's a country. Israel?
Israel? No.
Norway?
No way.
Croatia?
Get out of here.
I'll show you our podcast statistics.
Yeah, I've been trying to look at those for weeks and I can never see them.
Australia?
Australia?
The UK?
Is it like one person in each country?
No, there's at least a couple in each of those.
Well, look, everyone in Israel, Australia, the UK, Norway and Iberia. Liberia. We want to welcome you and we see you. We can totally see you.
Yeah, we're peeking in your window right now.
Do we have a GDPR thing up?
No.
We should probably do that. Next on the Do Weekly podcast, update your GDPR policy or add one. Yeah, that's what the challenge should have been this week.
Or a couple weeks ago before the deadline.
Or that. We're slackers. So what's the idea behind the challenge? Like, why is this important?
I think for a couple of reasons. First, public speaking skills. Always good to have.
Yeah.
And they get better with practice. Why don't you sound convinced about that?
Oh, I'm just kidding. I love public speaking. But you, on the other hand, when I first met you, you didn't seem to be that in love with public speaking.
No, I wasn't. But I learned to like it.
You learned
and
to like it.
I got better at it.
I always thought you were really good at it. But I think the more that you practiced, the more confident you became. And what I want to hit at here, and, you know, maybe you can provide some insight here, but with the various speaking engagements that you did, how do you feel that speaking at the events helped you beyond just developing self-confidence? How do you feel that helped you in other ways beyond that?
I think it also helps to establish you as an expert in your field.
Mm-hmm.
And I know a lot of people feel like they don't have anything worth talking about or worth sharing. But I would encourage anyone who feels that way to take a look at the list of talks being given at a conference to see how many of them they think they could actually cover that topic or a very similar topic. There's a lot of things I think that we take for granted that we do in our own businesses that we figure out, how am I going to make this aspect of my business work for me? And we just take it for granted that everyone else has figured it out too. But people actually really enjoy hearing, here's how I became the boss of my email, or here's how I was able to take vacations without a laptop, or here's how I was able to get my website all updated.
Right.
People love hearing things like that, like the things that you've done in your business, things that you've accomplished, and you can present a case study, you can do tips. You can do further research on it, and it's really helpful content for other business owners. I think it also really helps to build community and have you be recognized as an important member of a community. And then for me in particular, as an extreme introvert, I like to speak at conferences because then at the after party, people come up and start conversations with me, and I don't have to be stressed out trying to talk to people.
Ooh, that's a super hack right there. And I think something that, you know, I don't always think about in that respect because I'm not an introvert, and people come up to me and they say weird stuff to me, but that's precisely what you're talking about. Like, people will start conversations with you and people just ask me if my ancestry comes from the Basque region of Spain, and that, and that I've been mispronouncing my name for years. I'm like,
interesting.
Right. Interesting. And, you know, again, that doesn't happen if you don't speak at a conference.
Exactly.
Or in my case. But so, well, let me ask you this, too. So, but just to recap, like, you're an introvert and you started speaking at different conferences. And some of the benefits were you got to raise your capital within the community. Mm-hmm. You established yourself as a thought leader on a variety of topics. And, you know, I think through some of the things that you've learned and put into practice yourself, you're able to teach and share with other people. So you're able to teach strangers how to achieve certain outcomes. And I feel like a talk that you gave on how to make time for a side project mm-hmm. was something that really resonated with a lot of people too.
Yeah, it seemed to. And I have a little blog post up with my slides and some resources from that talk.
And because everyone, you know, I don't think I know one person who's working on just one thing. Like, everyone's working on multiple things at any one time.
Everyone's got all the side hustles going.
Yeah, yeah. Well, another thing that I wanted to ask is, like, what are the conferences that you've spoken at? Why did you, and why did you choose those conferences to speak at? Give me the first ones, the first few that you spoke at, why you chose them, and then did you try to branch out beyond those conferences, and then what was that selection process like? Does that make sense?
It does. But I actually got started speaking before conferences in meetups, just at local groups.
Yeah.
I started talking to groups as small as 10, 15, 20 people at local events. And then after I built up a certain amount of confidence, I applied to speak at some bigger conferences. So the first conference I ever spoke at was WordCamp Las Vegas in 2011. Mm-hmm. And I chose that because it was reasonably close to LA. I could drive.
Mm-hmm. I spoke at that one too.
That's amazing. Did you go to the speaker dinner at In-N-Out?
Oh, actually, no. I'm a liar. I spoke at the one in 2012. Oh,
okay. So it was close to LA, and it was a WordPress-oriented conference. So I did a lot of WordPress work. So it seemed like a good fit. And then for conference-wise, most of the talks that I've given have been at WordCamps. But I am interested in branching out and doing some small business conferences. I know there's a conference called MicroConf that happens in Vegas once a year that I think would be a good one to talk at. And there's a few others as well.
I think that being strategic with where you talk can be very beneficial. There's unfortunately a conference I'm going to be missing out on just because I have too much on my plate and I can't go. But, you know, Active Campaign, which is a platform that I do a lot of work with and I spend a lot of time promoting, but Active Campaign's having their very first user conference called Activate at the end of this month.
Nice.
And it's in Chicago. And I would love to go, but there's just too much to do, and I don't think I'll have it all done. And I haven't booked anything, so I'm not going to bother.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, speaking at that conference, people who attend it, you know, perhaps there's something that I can impart to them. But also, it gives me an opportunity to show what I know in front of other people who might make for good partners. But I think the other part to this, too, is for a lot of these conferences, they have speaker only events. Yes. And that kind of gets you access to other people who are very smart, influential, and it gives you an inroad to making these connections too, right?
Definitely. Or sometimes the speakers and the sponsors or something like that. Yeah. But yeah, usually some kind of insider event.
Yeah. And you know, that's something that I have to tell you, like, Those are the opportunities that I really try to look for. Like, I use these different products. Are any of the companies going to be there? Can I engage these companies' personnel? Like, how can I talk to the right people? And, you know, like, if I have ideas to pitch or just having the conversation and letting them know that, hey, I'm here and I'm a fan. That's one important aspect, I think, but also just finding other collaborators too.
So you've spoken at quite a few conferences too.
Who has?
You.
Oh, I has.
Who else is here?
You know,
the podcats?
The podcats are asleep. Useless. So I've spoken at a lot of WordPress centric events as well. But, you know, I'm starting to speak at more business-focused things, too. You know, my volunteer work with the SBDC, you know, finds me leading workshops or, you know, doing talks, you know, for small business owners or organizations on various topics that I know very well. And those are talks that have sent me leads and new work. There's a lot of awesomeness there. You know, I don't always expect really any leads or many leads from the conferences, but like the small business ones that I do, I tend to get more leads from, which is interesting.
No, I think that makes sense because at a WordPress conference, so many of the people there do what you do already.
Right.
And there's some potential for partnership, but not really a whole lot of potential for clients.
Sure.
To come out of that.
You know, like we covered some of the things that, or, you know, some of the reasons why it's good to speak at a conference. Because one, you know, improving your public speaker skills, boosting your confidence. And I do think that if you're on a stage, it puts you under the microscope. But also, it does put you at a certain level of authority, too.
It does.
And it does have the neat side effect of making you a trusted resource.
I have to say that when I very first started speaking at meetups, I was kind of shocked when people started asking me all kinds of questions because I just thought, why are you asking me? I'm not the expert. Yeah. But just by getting up in front of the room, you had positioned yourself as an expert and people are very quick to just trust that.
Right. The meetup thing could probably be its own topic because I really do think that creating a community around your business or around a certain topic of discussion is a great way to establish yourself as a leader and a resource within your community. But just, I run two meetups in Pasadena for WordPress every month, and I run them out of the co-working space I work out of, and I'm the WordPress guy there.
Yeah.
Like, people come to me with WordPress questions, and you know, it's led to work. And, you know, that's not what I intended. That was not my intent of doing the meetup. But that's the side effect. Again, you provide a valuable resource to people. You help people. And it very often, that's reciprocated. And that happens with speaking, too. You share information. And what you do for other people is somehow reciprocated, whether they engage you in questions, try to hire you, whatever, right?
Or refer you to friends and family who need to hire you.
Mm-hmm. You know, speaking in one place can lead to referrals and speaking at other awesome events too.
What do you think is a good way for people to find events that they can apply to speak at?
Oh, gosh. Well, there's this really awesome thing called Google.
We one step away from, let me Google that for you.
I know. You know, if I speak from my own experience, you and I both do a lot of work in WordPress. So there's, you know, fortunately a lot of conferences around WordPress.
And web development in general.
And web development in general. And I think if you do a search for WordPress conferences or WordCamps, you'll find a website that lists all of the upcoming events. Mm-hmm. And, you know, find something to speak at.
There's literally conferences for everything.
There are conferences for everything, like How to Be a Vampire Conf.
There was just an alien conference in Pasadena over the weekend.
Yeah.
There's conferences for everything. So I think there's two potential ways, I think, to look at choosing an event to speak at. One would be to pick something in the industry that you work in, like for you and I, to do a WordPress conference or a web development conference, where you can establish yourself as an authority and a thought leader in that field.
Yeah.
But then I think the other potential avenue is to look for a conference for your target audience, for the people who would hire you. So for you and I, that could be like a business conference, a small business conference, a nonprofit conference, something like that, where most of the people attending would be potential clients.
That's a really good point. Because, you know, like, I don't feel like for me, you know, I do like speaking at WordCamps and participating in them. But, you know, if I'm looking at it from a purely business perspective, WordCamps don't really yield much in the way of leads or anything.
No, they haven't for me historically.
Yeah. And, you know, it's a great way to build a profile and trust within a community. But, you know, if my aim is to get more business, then, you know, I want to find something that's more conducive to that. And your suggestion, try to find something like, who is my demographic or who are the customers that I serve? Maybe I should find like a e-commerce conference.
Yeah.
Or like a learning tech, like edutech type of conference or something like that, where I can speak about learning management systems or something like that. But, you know, I think I'll probably look at something more small business related.
There's absolutely conferences for everything. For local events, if you're in a bigger metropolitan area like we are, there's meetups and user groups and for almost everything. In a smaller area, it might be a little tougher. But I think even in small towns, the Chamber of Commerce would host speakers on a regular basis to come in and teach people how to do something.
Yeah, I think that those are fantastic ideas. So the challenge here, folks, is to find and sign up for some conferences. And I'm not saying just one conference. I mean...
Yeah, because we're only applying.
Yeah.
If you only apply for one, you don't have great chances of being selected.
I think to help you prepare, you should get together at least, what would you say, three topics?
Yeah, like three topics.
Three discussions, and submit all three of those to each conference that you want to speak at.
And you can even find ways to take the same topic but twist it a little bit for different audiences. Mm-hmm. So like maybe you're going to talk about LMSs. You could talk about those for developers, or you could talk about them for people who want to do online courses.
Yeah, perfect.
So same topic but different audiences.
Yeah, absolutely. And maybe choose a place that has a conference, or choose a conference that's being held somewhere that you want to visit. And extend your stay, you know, make it kind of an adventurous sort of outing. But
a business / pleasure trip.
Yes, a business / pleasure trip. And I will remind you that going to a conference is not a pleasure trip. You are still working.
Absolutely.
So
it's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work.
Pretty much working from when you wake up to when you go to bed.
Yep. And people make that mistake. People are like, oh, I'm going to go to Hawaii for this conference. And then they're at the conference all the time. They're like...
And you don't get to go to the beach.
Yeah, go to the beach. Like, take
some extra days. You got to tack some extra days onto the trip.
Do it. Do it. Expense that thing. Yeah, I think that this sounds like a pretty darn good challenge.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Well...
I haven't spoken at anything in a while.
Well, how many conferences are you going to try to speak at? I'm gonna say three.
Yeah, maybe I'll apply to three.
Natalie and I are committing to three conferences apiece. For me, I want them to be conferences that I haven't spoken at before. You know, not other word camps in other states, but yeah. I'm just saying like other conferences that I have not applied to speak at.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do.
They're happening all the time everywhere.
Show enough.
There's even a cat conference. I've been to it, in case you're a big fan of cats and podcasts.
So this has been the Do Weekly Podcast.
Why are you changing the subject?
Thank you very much for listening. We like cats. We have two podcats.
Meow, meow.
Stop it. You stop it. There's a sickness you have. There's a sickness. So Natalie, if people wanted to listen to this podcast from their favorite services, how would they do it? Where would they go?
Well, they can head to our website at doweeklypodcast.com. We've got links out to all the services where we're listed, which is iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and a few others. Wherever you get the best podcast in the world to listen to, you'll find us. They let us in.
Frick yes.
We tricked them.
Frick yes, we did. Frick yes, we tricked them. We tricked the heck out of them.
You can leave comments on our website.
I mean, it's kind of a big deal.
It kind of is. It's really exciting. And you can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Do Weekly Podcast.
For the Do Weekly Podcast, I'm Alex Vasquez.
And I'm Natalie McLeese.
And we're here to remind you to keep it going and keep it doable.
See you next week.
See you next week. Hello. This is the Do Weekly Podcast. What about it? It's a weekly challenge podcast for small business owners. And the crying woman, her name's Natalie McLees. Forget about it. And my name is Alex Two Chains Vasquez.
What